Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Y'all can be seated. Sister Sarah, can I ask you to lead us in a word of prayer, please? Page 507. Y'all were just playing this one just a little bit ago.
And Brother Wayne, I don't want to put all of y'all on the spot, but you're all musicians, you know how to sing, you know how to play on the instruments. And I was wondering if you, Vanessa, Chris, and Marilyn would sing one for us during a little bit. I know you had to practice, but you don't have to. You're so good at what you do.
We'll do something. We'll do something.
So does Kevin.
Amen. We'll share a song, and it'll probably be at the crossing. What's the name of the song? I'll share that. But you know, the longer I serve him, the sweeter it grows, and there's just something beautiful about that. Something beautiful about that. Look at page, you know, 507.
I love this, Brother Wayne, because all I have ever had to offer the Lord is brokenness and struggle. That's all I have. But he made something.
Thank you.
this morning, he's touched you.
Would you just do a couple of verses of 4:17?
4:17.
Wherever we need to go.
I think it's in the red book. Yeah.
It's in this book.
Is that it? What's nine?
598.
It's 598. That's okay. That's all right.
The word says we enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise.
That's right.
And every Sabbath is the company of worship, but it's celebrating his victory. His victory at the cross and his victory to come. He's going to reign here. I think it's wonderful.
Brother Wayne, I come this morning with this song that's really on my heart. One of our former pastors here, Brother Johnny Hudson, that's gone on, his brother has passed away, Ellis. And it was mentioned before Sunday school, one of our great gospel-style pianists in our county, Miss Patsy Vickery, has passed away. A friend of mine that was a custodian there at First Baptist Donyana, John Hedrick, passed away yesterday. And, sometimes you think that load just gets so heavy, you just can't hardly bear it. And I'm thinking about the loss we had at church, but I'm not saying that to be sad in any way. I'm just saying it's a reality of what we live with.
Sure.
And over 50 years ago now, Brother James and Avo Dunn's daughter, Norma, and son-in-law, Billy Boatwright, lost a son that was just about 6 years old. And I wasn't much older than that. And we sung this song at the crossing. And I just want you to really pay attention to the words that's on my heart today. Because we're gonna make that cross and we're gonna face that. And the best that we could ever hope for is somebody to be there with us.
That's right.
To help us. I've had the privilege on several dear saints of God to be able to stand around their bedside and just sing songs and, just try to help them from this world to the next. And that time will come for us. But at the crossing, why should we be afraid? There'll be someone there who loves me to guide me across the river. I hope this will be a blessing to you today, and just pray for us as we try to sing it. Brother, help me sing this.
Crossing. be someone there who loves me to guide me across the river to endless joy above.
Sing that chorus, man. Sing that chorus again right there.
All right, here we go.
At the cross.
At the crossing of the Jordan, why should I be afraid? There'll be someone there who loves me to guide me across the river.
While they're coming back to their seat, many, many years ago, Elaine and Roger will know who I'm talking about. Glenn Chambers, Boyd Chambers' son, and Roger were very, very good friends. And at the funeral for Glenn, Brother Floyd told me that right before Glenn died, that he was talking about seeing his mother at the river. And every time I sing this song, that story comes right to me.
Sure.
And Brother Floyd said there was a peaceful look on Glenn's face. So let's remember that when someone has passed over that's a Christian, yes, there'll be somebody there to meet them at the river.
Amen.
And thank y'all, I appreciate that.
And if I remember right, Glenn's mother had just died maybe 3 months before he did.
That's so. Correct, yes.
A beggar
It's a blessing to be here and feel what we feel down in our heart. And you know, Sister Vanessa, the Lord knows what we need at the time that we need it. A lot of times we think, or I'm guilty of thinking that I know what I need, but the Lord knows what I need. He knows what I need. And I'm so glad of that today. I love Him. Good to see each one of you here today, and we don't have the crowd we had last Sunday, but we got a good crowd here today. And I'm glad to see each and every one of y'all today, and I hope that this service has already been a blessing to you today. It has me, and I just appreciate our Sunday school and the songs that have been sung and the testimonies, and I don't know about y'all, but I feed off of that. And it strengthens me. And do any of you ever have a Job moment where you feel like everything's maybe happening at once? And I feel guilty after I have one of those, and I compare myself to Job, and then I think, no, Job had it a whole lot worse than this. But every so often, there'll be something in life where it seems like that trouble will come from about three or four different angles, all within a minute or two of one another. You ever had that? It doesn't happen very often, at least it don't with me, but the other day I was determined to get the grass cut, and I had to go through a lot to get the mower to run after sitting up over the winter. And I got started on it, and I'd been mowing about 30 minutes or an hour, and the belt jumped off the pulleys that drives the blades. And my mower, if you cut it off, the battery's not real good on it, and you have to jump it off if you're going to crank it back up. So I'm up there in the upper part of the yard, and I'm thinking, now, I don't want to cut it off. I'm going to reach down and put this belt back on with it running. So I reached down there, and that belt was vibrating, and I got a hold of it, and I slipped it back up on there. Of course, I didn't have it engaged, but still and yet, it's a very foolish thing to do with the mower running. But while I was in the process of doing that, I got a text, and I got out from under the mower, and I looked at my phone, and somebody said, one of your cows is out on Highway 36. And then following that, I got a picture of my cow. out on the road. And then Belinda called in the meantime. She wasn't feeling very well, and she called, and she was letting me know something that I needed to do that I had forgotten to do. And all this happened within about, Brother Bubba, a minute of one another. And I said, well, the belt can wait. What she said can wait, but I got to get that cow out of the road. But it all worked out. Went down there, and that old cow, she went right back in the gate. I changed and put her in another section over there where hopefully she don't get out. And got the belt on and got the yard finished mowing. And even tended to what Belinda had for me to do there. But I said that to say this, that sometimes we can be overwhelmed with what we think is just, but the Lord worked all of that out. I was letting that be a problem to me, but God worked it all out. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the 14th chapter of Job, I'd like to read a few verses of scripture in your hearing and maybe share with you a thought that the Lord's laid on our heart. In the 14th chapter of Job, I feel like just reading right now, I just feel like reading just a couple of verses. So if you'll pay close attention while we read this. He said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And of course here Job was talking about the natural man here. He was talking about the natural man. Brother Chris made mention of those that have gone on just in the last day or so, or even today, that have gone on to meet the Lord, and it's almost like we think about the things that they did in their life, what they meant to us and all, but nevertheless, their life was kind of like a shadow. It just appeared for a little while, and then it vanished away. And so Job here comes to the conclusion, and this is during his tribulations and that he's going through. He comes to the conclusion that man born of woman, the natural man, is just of a few days, but full of trouble. I'm afraid that in the day and time that we live in of people having big dreams, that a lot of people, and I see it in a lot of young people, that, and I'm not a discourager or a prophet of doom, but I see it in a lot of young people that they think that if this will happen or that'll happen, everything will be all right. You see that a lot of times in young folks. And I was that way. That if I can just have this, everything will be all right. But it's not. It's not. We know that. Those of us that's got a few years on us, we know that that very soon after we think that we have all that we need materially, there'll be something else that we'll have a need of that we didn't think about back then. So Job here comes to this conclusion. If you read this on the surface and didn't think about it, you would think that Job was saying, my whole life has been miserable. He wasn't saying that.
No.
He wasn't saying that. He was comparing the little bit of time that we live here on this earth as compared to the eternity that God has, an eternity in glory for God, that God has for those that love Him today. So it is just a little small amount of time if we look at it in that aspect, whether we live to be 100 years old or 50 or 15. It's a short time according to eternity. But I wanted to think about, just for a few minutes, there was a song that was written a long time ago, and some of you that are younger probably may have never heard it or remember it. Brother Roger made mention of it some time back in a devotion, and the song was called "Like a Bridge Over Troubled Waters." And Simon and Garfunkel, I believe, wrote that song and was the first to record it. Very beautiful song. If you hadn't heard it, pull up on your YouTube or however you can get it and just listen to that song. It's not a gospel song, but just listen to the words of it. Elvis Presley sang it. I think after they recorded it, there's a version of him singing it. Both versions are very beautiful, very beautiful song. But I got to thinking about how many times that the Lord in my life has been a bridge over troubled waters. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about how many times in your life that God has been a bridge over trouble? Not just over troubled waters, but over troubles in general. That He's been there. And so as we begin to look, I looked up the word trouble. I'm bad about words that I know what they mean. I'm bad about looking them up just to see what maybe Webster has to say as they define the word. And how they defined it, they said trouble is to disturb the mental calm. This is talking about trouble in a person's life. There's all kind of different kinds of trouble. But it said, to disturb the mental calm and contentment, causing worry, distress, and agitation. I thought that was a very good definition of the word trouble, what it causes in our lives, if we let it, what it becomes in our life. And so as we look at this, we have to understand that. Well, a lot of times we'll say, I've heard preachers say it and I've heard church members say it concerning maybe in a revival, you'll see somebody or somebody will be noticed in the church that's under conviction. Now, I've never been one to be able to point out who's lost and who's not, but there is a way that you can look and you can see conviction, whether it be conviction of being backslid or conviction of this or that or being lost. A lot of times you can see that on somebody's face, and a lot of old timers will say, boy, they're in trouble, won't they? They're in trouble. And that's how we get across that we recognize that somebody's got a problem in their life. If somebody has a drug problem and they're in and out of jail or in and out of prison, we'll say, boy, they got a troubled life, hadn't they? Amen. And so as we begin to look at this, and I want us to look here just for a minute at Job, and we know, I don't have to go through that with you. You Bible readers know the story of Job and how that a lot of these things came to him at one time. The Lord allowed the devil to cause some torment to Job, and he didn't let him touch his soul, but he did allow him to cause Job some torment and some trouble. And so we go back and look, and a lot of people believe that maybe that when this all happened, this was the first time that Job had ever experienced trouble in his life. But no, this wasn't the first time Job had ever experienced trouble in his life. Now, no doubt, when all these trials and tribulations came, and it seemed like just in the matter of a short time, we look at that and we get overwhelmed at what he experienced, Brother Wayne. But Job was no stranger to trouble. He was no stranger to knowing to worry. I'll say that. Let me read you back in the first chapter of Job a few verses, why that'll back up, I believe, what I'm saying here. In the first chapter of Job, of course, it starts off saying that that he was upright and feared God, the greatest of all the men in the land of Uz in the east. But let me start with the second verse. And there were born unto him, talking about Job, 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and fasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their fasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Listen very close to this. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. So we have to believe here that Job was a God-fearing man. He eschewed evil. He did all these things that the Bible said that he did. But Job was concerned about his kids. He was, and I believe, I don't think the Bible goes into detail about it, but I think that Job was not only concerned about his own family, but I think his concern went out to the community. I believe he was that kind of a man. When you fear God and eschew evil, you're going to do what God says, and if you're going to do what God says, you're going to love your neighbor. Amen. And so I believe that Job... somebody might say, Job, you've got everything under the sun. You've got this fine farm and these livestock. Why in the world are you getting down and squalling and praying for your kids? Why are you doing that? You got everything going for you, Job. You see, Job, what made him rich was not all these things that the Bible tells us that he possessed, but what made him rich was his experience and his relationship with God. That's what made him more than a millionaire, was his relationship with God. Now, those of us that have kids, we worry about them, don't we? We do. And we're not supposed to worry, but I believe that we'd be lying if we didn't say at times we worry about our children. We do, especially when they're younger. I'm hoping mine will find the right one and get married pretty soon, and she can take some of the worry off of us. But you worry about them, and especially when they're younger. And Job was no exception to this. He worried about his.
Right.
And I don't know what the deal was when they were over there at the eldest brother's house. The Bible doesn't go into detail about that, but this was something evidently that happened on occasion, that the eldest brother would invite the other brothers and his sisters to come. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I like getting together with my family. But there was something there that troubled Job. And Job had evidently no proof that anything was going bad or wrong, but something, Vanessa, made him go and sacrifice to the Lord and pray on their behalf. He said it may be that they've sinned in their heart and cursed God. It just may be. You think maybe that there might have been, I'm not trying to twist the Bible, but maybe there was some drinking going on. Possibly. Maybe being Job's kids, maybe they didn't touch alcohol. But Job's troubles did not begin over there when the Lord allowed Satan, when he was going to and fro up and down the earth. Amen. And the Lord offered him Job. That's not when Job's trouble started.
Right.
Our troubles start from the time that we're born.
Right.
Amen. I begin to think about a newborn baby,
and how precious they are when any of us can experience having one in the family or knowing somebody that has one. Joey, we just rejoiced when y'all come along. We did. Yeah. But I thought about, Job said, man born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble. Do you think maybe that when the gynecologist pulls that baby out and it goes from a warm mother's womb where it's content and comfortable to all of a sudden a chill over its little body when it comes out? Most babies cry when they come out, at least we hope they do when they come out. But do you think, Sister Marilyn, the shock of coming from a womb to into the world is troublesome?
Sure.
Sure it's troublesome. So trouble begins, I'm convinced that trouble begins. Preacher, that's not a lot of trouble. That's just a natural birth. I realize that today. But trouble begins at a very, very young age, even when we're born. It was mentioned, Sister Pam made mention, that our children sometimes can experience abuse or experience cruelty at school. I think all of our kids have probably at some time or another have been through that. And that's something that we pray that our children won't be harassed or bullied or bothered, but it happens. It happens, and that happens at a very young age. Sister Elaine, you won't see me go crying. Let me read a suicide note of a child that nobody knew what they were going through, and evidently nobody tried to help them, and they left that note. Breaks my heart, and it makes me realize that as a pastor, as a Christian, I'm not doing all I can do. But trouble is inevitable. I appreciate what an old preacher said at a funeral one time that stuck with me. My cousin's funeral, and I wasn't living right at the time, but I went to her funeral, and the man of God that was helping in the funeral, he said, trouble is inevitable. And when he said that, there was a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, Brother Michael, that all this time I've been spending to try to avoid trouble, to try to find things in life that would bring happiness, he gave me no hope for that, for things of this world to give me happiness and joy, because he said trouble is inevitable. Yeah. When you got that phone call, Vanessa, and it broke your heart, broke our heart, we realized that death is natural, but trouble's inevitable. It's inevitable. So we begin to look here, and we begin to see what Job said. And I want to talk to us just for a minute about a bridge over troubled waters today. And then I want to speak to us just for a minute about allowing God to be that bridge over trouble in our life today. Now, you can try to handle troubles any way that you know how. You can try to say, I've got everything I need. I'm strong. I've got this and that. I can handle my own troubles. I've had people tell me when I told them they need the Lord in their life, they would say, I can handle my troubles. But they can't. There's coming a time in each and every one of our lives where trouble is going to be to the point where we realize how we've got to have some help. Amen. See, a lot of times, pride is something that comes natural with carnality. It does today. We all want to think that we can handle it on our own. Amen. I've had to humble myself, Sister Sarah, in the last few years. I have.
to realize that there were things that I had done all my life that now I pay somebody else to do. And the biggest problem with that was not the money, it was the admitting.
Yeah,
it was the admitting.
That's true.
Amen?
That's true.
Humbling myself and realizing that this project's too big for me to do by myself. So when we come to the conclusion that trouble is inevitable, preacher, this is not a very popular or a very cheer up message when you're talking about trouble. Well, trouble's not very cheerful. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me read to you here. The psalmist David said in the 66th Psalm, he said, "Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through the water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place." I'm going to tell you, God will let me sit on the mountaintop every now and then. After I've gone through some troubles and trials and tribulations, he'll let me sit on the mountaintop every now and then. But I'm not ignorant enough to know that I'm not going to sit on that mountaintop every day. There's going to be a valley that's going to be coming. But I can tell you this, that there's a day coming for them that know the Lord where troubles will be no more.
Amen.
No more. No more troubles. I thought about what the psalmist has said there. He had been through the fire. He had been through the water. Amen. But God put him in a wealthy place. Do you realize today that if you know the Lord today, you're wealthy?
Amen.
You are.
Right.
It's not based on our bank accounts. It's based on what we have in our heart.
Amen.
Just the peace of God. Now, a lot of times, we live in a society today where people talk about positive thinking. You got to think positive. Well, that's probably a good saying, but when I've got a toothache and it's hurting bad, you can tell me all day long to think positive, and that's not going to ease that pain at all.
That's true.
At all. A lot of times, and I'm bad about it, a lot of times, somebody going through something, a tribulation, and sometimes we'll say, "Well, the Lord's going to take care of it." And you're trying to be comforting, and you know that He will. You know that in due time He will. But sometimes we have to endure some trouble, don't we? We just have to endure some trouble.
Yes.
I told Sister Nail the other day, I said, "Sister Nail, I wish I could wave a magic wand and everything would be better." She said, "I do too, preacher. But I can't." Right. And she can't. But I'm going to tell you, I know a man that'll become a bridge for you over every trouble.
Amen.
That we face in our life today. When they wrote that song, "A Bridge Over Troubled Water," and I got a feeling that they were probably talking about a love for some woman they had, and in that song they were comparing themselves to a bridge, that they would lay down their life like a bridge over troubled water. I don't know if that's what they're talking about or not. But what I get out of it is what Jesus Christ is to you and I today.
Amen.
He's a bridge over trouble. How we handle our troubles has everything to do with how we're going to be in life.
Amen.
It does. I'm afraid we mistakenly anticipate a lot of times that when we see somebody that everything's going good for them, on the surface, everything's going good for them, we think to ourselves, "Lord, they don't have any troubles." But they do. It's how they handle their troubles is what we see on the surface. It's what we see.
I told y'all before of a lady years ago who had every reason, every carnal reason to give up because of the things that had happened in her life. But every time I would go to her house, I would leave there with a blessing. Because I saw what she was going through, but I couldn't help but see the joy down in her heart, Josie. And so, instead of allowing these things to say, her say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? Don't get me wrong, Job got discouraged. Job got to the point to where he wished he was dead. Job got to the point where he wished that in his mother's womb he had died there. You may say, boy, Job shouldn't have got like that. You hadn't been where Job is.
Right.
But he will be that bridge over any trouble in our life. You know how much we underestimate the power of God. We have an inventory of things that God has done for us, where he's become a bridge in our life.
Yes.
And then we hit a trouble like we've never hit before. We thought those were troubles. We hit one like we've never hit before.
And the old devil will put into your mind, God can't do nothing about this. This is bigger than him. He'll lie to you. He'll put things in your head that are not there. He'll discourage you. He'll get you down and out. He'll drive you to drinking. He'll drive you to drugs. He'll drive you to everything under the sun to try to find peace. That the only peace you'll get is from that bridge, Jesus Christ. That bridge over the troubled water. You see, he was a bridge all down through. You can read and go back and look when Moses, amen, came to the Red Sea. We talk about the sea parting,
yeah.
But it was a bridge, amen, that God made for them. When Joshua and the children of Israel came to the Jordan River, and the Lord parted the river. He became that bridge over trouble. Over trouble. Amen. How many times in your life have you had to use that bridge to get over trouble in your life? Amen. And the longer I've been saved, the more convinced I've become, church, that he will help me over the next trouble that comes in my life, no matter how big or how small that it is.
Amen.
Oh. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, naturally speaking, should have been burnt to a crisp. If it burnt the men that threw them in there, surely they should have been burnt to a crisp. But God was a bridge. I can't explain how the furnace can be turned up 7 times hotter than what it normally is turned to, and people survive inside. They're not charred. They're not black. Not a hair of their head is singed. I think it's because it was a poor man that was a bridge.
It was a bridge in there with them. I can't explain how a young man named Daniel was cast into a lion's den. That was supposed to be a no-brainer. We cast him in the lion's den. Lions are going to do what comes natural to them. No more Daniel.
Testament,
Jesus didn't come until first chapter of Matthew. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one. They've been here since the beginning. So instead of trying to go through life with some big dream, and it's okay to dream, but when you're thinking that you can make everything better and live happily ever after by some material thing or somebody doing a certain thing, it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's not going to happen. The sooner we come to the conclusion that trouble is inevitable, the faster we can start looking to that bridge. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, I can't stop this from happening. I can't stop so-and-so from doing what they're doing. But Lord, you can be a bridge to me to get over this. Amen. And he will. He will. No doubt when he went down there to Bethesda's pool and the man that had the infirmity for 38 years who tried when the angel would come down and trouble the waters, who tried to get in the water, but what never was the first one. And the Bible taught us that you had to be the first one in the water. And to him, all hope was gone that he would ever be healed of anything. And that bridge came, Jesus Christ, and asked him the question, will that be made whole? Well, sure, I'd love to be made whole, but you know what happens every time the water's troubled, somebody else goes in before me and I have nobody to help me and throw me in first. Jesus didn't ask him that, did he? He said, will I be made whole? Michael, I'm glad today that this is the bridge in my life.
Amen.
That has carried me over trials and tribulations and storms. I can name you time after time after time. That he has been that bridge. If every one of you, if you went to testify to him, you could tell of times that he's been that bridge in your life. Amen? He was that bridge to blind Bartimaeus when he begged the Lord to heal him. He was that bridge to the woman that doctors had tried every way in the world to heal her of her infirmity. And she got worse and worse and worse. He was that bridge for her. Today, if you're here, you're lost and undone without God. Listen to me. I've been preaching on trouble and how that trouble is inevitable in our life. You may be here saying, preacher, I know I've got trouble, but I am. I am. Or you can be like an ostrich, bury your head down in the sand, and hope that while your head's buried in the sand, that all your troubles will disappear. I'm not proud to admit this, but I used to be a drinker. And I'd try to drink my trouble away. But Ricky, when I woke up, and that hangover wore off, my troubles were right there where they were when I sat there drinking.
That's right.
They were right there. And what I was trying to get peace with was not a bridge. It was a temporary satisfaction that didn't last very long. So instead of saying, And I do everything in my power to try to avoid trouble. I believe we need to try to do that. I do. If I see trouble over here, and if I can avoid it, I'll do everything in my power to try to avoid it. But sometimes trouble comes, and you can't do anything about it.
That's right.
You can't do anything about it. That's when you need the Lord.
Amen.
To carry you over. I'm more confident in him now, Brother John, than I was in him last week. Because every day that I live, and every bridge experience that I've had and still have, draws me closer and closer, Brother Mark, to him. It does. Draws me closer to him. A lot of saved people today, you may be wrestling with your troubles. You may say, well, I've got to work this out for myself. I've got to work these troubles out for myself. One by one, I've got to work them out. The other day, I made a list when I got that phone call and got those texts and the belt jumped off the mower. I said, first thing is, we got to prevent a wreck on Highway 36. Second thing is, I've got the yard half mowed. I need to finish. Third thing is, I'm going to do what my wife asked me to do. But you see, trouble's coming. Trouble's coming. Trouble's already here. There's one something I hate to hear, and every pastor hates to hear it every day, and if you're a good church member, you hate to hear it. And that's trouble in the church. You ever hear that? Boy, that's something you don't want to hear. Praise God today. I had never experienced any here. Thank the Lord. We don't like trouble. We don't like to think about it. I read you the definition of it. It causes pain. It causes sorrow. It causes hopelessness.
Yes.
Things ain't gonna get any better. How many times have I heard, preacher, things ain't gonna get no better for me. This is just my slice of the pie. No, God loves you.
Amen.
And God wants better things for you. And he wants better things for me. Amen. He wants us to grow and to become stronger with these trials and tribulations that you and I face today. Amen. And he'll give us a bridge. Amen. To get over these things and to go further with him. They come give us a song. Everybody stand.
504. 504.